At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, we saved the best for last. Final hour of VSiN Tonight presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Look who's in studio with us. Senior NBA analyst here at VSiN, Jonathan Von Tobel. Will Hill, my co-host. And let's talk some NBA with JVT. You've been out here on Fremont Street outside Circuit in the rain.
Right.
It's a rainy Friday night, so let's talk some hoops. And let's talk about your Clippers. I hate to rain on your parade right off the bat. Yeah. But the Clippers tonight get virtually nothing from PG and Kawhi, and they go down 101-90 to the Dallas Mavericks, and they're down 2-1 in the series. Dallas was a 4.5, 5-point favorite tonight in that 11-point win, still way under the total of 214.5. What went wrong with the Clippers tonight? Did you think they could get it back on track in game four?
Yeah, I mean, to the second part, yes. Look, the Clippers in their past is actually against this Mavericks team. Last time they played, Matt, they were down 2-0 in the series. They were down 3-2 in Dallas, and they ended up winning that series. So, like, any 2-1 deficit is not insurmountable. But you've got to do a couple of things. First off, you can't turn the ball over as often as they did. They had a turnover rate of 21.3%, or they turned it over on 21% of their possessions. You can't do that. You can't do that in a game, in a playoff game, and especially in a playoff game that is so slow paced. They only had 89 possessions. So, like, when you're turning the ball over in a slow paced contest, that is going to kill you more often than not. And, like, that's kind of the aggravating thing about this team so far is defensively, they played really well against the Dallas Mavericks through the first three games. Tonight, offensive rating of 114.9 for Dallas. That's really, really average for a team. In the first two games in LA combined, the Mavericks had an offensive rating of 105. So they've played them very well on that end. Luka Doncic had more shot attempts than points today. You should win that game if you're the Clippers. So you've got to shoot better. You can't turn the ball over. And the other thing is, I hate to say it, I think you tell Kawhi to take the rest of the series off. He's not healthy. He doesn't look healthy. He had a great dunk when it looked like maybe they were going to make a comeback. And when he's hanging from the rim, he's wincing. Like, he doesn't want to jump back down on the floor. That, I think, kind of helps you out because you at least know what the role's going to be. You can't throw him out there for 10 minutes in a first half and he takes two shots. So I think at this point, those are kind of the keys. I know they're probably not going to bench Kawhi, but at this point right now, the really big key for them is don't turn the ball over, because defensively, at the very least, you've got a pretty decent game plan through three games that has held the Mavericks down to a pretty below average offensive rating.
JVT, I want to get to the Saturday games, but let's do a little talk radio here for a second. If this ends up being an embarrassing exit for the Suns where they lose quickly in the series, do they start to just consider all their options and say, hey, we went all in, we don't have any picks? Would they think about moving Durant again and just saying, hey, this is not going to work? Because this team's not winning a championship What do you think this summer looks like for the Suns?
Yeah, I mean, you probably do really consider it, especially when you look at the next 2 years for Bradley Beal. I mean, he's making, how about these price tags, man, if I could, 53.6 and 57.1. Like, those are exactly what Bradley Beal is making, Will. And so now, like, it's funny when you think back in the offseason and everybody was like, they did such a good job, right? But really, like, they don't have any center depth. Coming into the game on Friday night, they had a negative 19 net rating whenever Yusuf Nurkic left the floor. That's Yusuf Nurkic. Oh. He shouldn't be that valuable to a team, and yet that's where they're at, and that's what happens when Drew Eubanks plays big minutes for you at backup center in the postseason. So I think that there's probably some stubbornness, Will, in a guy like Matt Ishbia, who put a lot of capital into this team and really wants something. You probably try to stick through this, but I think to your overall point, of the guys that you have outside of Devin Booker, and I don't think you want to let him go because he's a franchise cornerstone, you could get something for Kevin Durant that you would at least be able to start something back up here if he's willing to move on. And as we know, Kevin Durant's history, he might be willing to move on. So ship him off to the Clippers, and then let's get something going here. But I do think in reality, you do have to really consider what you're going to do with this team, because right now this team has no depth. They don't know what they're going to do anytime any one of their big three leave the floor. And it's not going to lead itself, outside of just praying and crossing your fingers and hoping that you're just going to have a stretch of four series where these dudes go nuclear. I don't think that you have a team that is going to build on sustainable success to win an NBA Finals.
Lakers are going to have some picks available this summer. I'm sure you'll enjoy the Durant to Lakers rumors. That'll eat up some time.
Well, I'll enjoy the Lakers fans also saying, like, oh, let's just trade Gabe Vincent in a second round pick for Kevin Durant. That'll be enough, right? Like, that's always the best part of the offseason.
It's really good. I mentioned earlier, I was talking with Matt, the Cavs are very lucky the NFL draft was on Thursday, because they kind of got away with an absolute stinker in game three. I don't know what to look for in game four. I would assume the Cavs play a little better. This has been an ugly series at times. Magic laying two, total 201.5. Anything for the early game here Saturday?
Yeah, I would tend to think that the bounce back here for Cleveland is going to be pretty strong. And by the way, you know, old school handicappers that have been playing the zigzag have had a pretty strong start to the postseason. It's been working out relatively well for them for the most part. And this series has been a very good example of that, right? So I think that you're probably bouncing or banking on Cleveland bouncing back. Because here's the thing, Will, this is a team that finished in the mid-20s, Orlando, in offensive rating. They had an offensive rating of 143.3 the other day against Cleveland. They shot as a team 36% from three on 41% of their attempts coming from deep. That's not what Orlando is. They're not a very good shooting team. Their offense is not particularly great. They don't have a lot of dynamic scorers. You know, one of the good things that was pointed out by some of the film analysts on, you know, NBA Twitter, if you will, the first two games is Orlando doesn't have anybody that commands any double teams, right? So generally, you're pretty comfortable guarding guys one-on-one. And if one dude beats you, then one dude beats you. But Jalen Suggs isn't burning you or commanding guys, to attract a multiple defenders. Paolo Banchero on a good night might, but the rest of them aren't. So if you get a little bit more regression in terms of shooting on both ends, by the way, the Cavs have really quietly been garbage from three-point range in this series. They are better than that. They're a top half of the league shooting team, and yet the other day, they shoot 16% from three. Remember, guys, in game one, they missed 17 consecutive shots at one point from beyond the arc, and they still won that game by double digits and covered. So I would really expect Cleveland to bounce back here. It's been the nature of the series, but I think it's also the nature of a game that played out like that.
Boston laying nine, total 202.5. We were talking earlier, home court has just not meant that much between these two teams the last few years for whatever reason. That game Wednesday night, game two, a major red flag for series down the line, or just a one-off?
So this is, I think, some of my weaknesses as like a handicapper, right? Because my initial thought is, when I look at that game, is, are you really going to go 23 or 43 from three again? Like, really? A lot of people just look at that result and go, Heat culture. And I look at it and go, you hit 23 of 43 three-point attempts. Right. You bombed away. I don't think that's going to be the case. So
I'm going to say 12 for 35 in game.
Yeah,
in game
right. Three. Like, the natural inclination shooting is that the regression. Shooting is going to regress. Now, regression is not guaranteed, and this Heat team shot nearly 50% from three over the course of a five-game series against Milwaukee last year. So they can just come out and burn you if that's going to be the case. But I tend to think that you're going to die down here a little bit in terms of your shooting. Boston's going to shoot a little bit better. They only shot 37% from three, and you would think, well, that's actually pretty good. Not for this team. This team's a high-volume, high-efficiency shooting team. They should probably come out much better than what they did. So I tend to think that this is the bounce back. But for this one, Will, I think what's really interesting is the total. You're down to 202.5 now on this total. And one of the things that's been fascinating, you go back to the first weekend of the playoffs, you had 6-2 to the under, and four of those games went under by nearly 30 points. So you've seen this really extreme push, right, to the under. All these adjustments over the last couple of days. Well, heading into the late game today, over the last two, you were on a 5-1 run to the over. So the market it's really kind of swung too far in one direction. And you do wonder if 202 and a half is a little too low for two teams that are going to come out. And while they're going to play at a slow pace, they're also going to bomb away from three. And I think that's going to allow this game to potentially go over the total. So I think that's where I was most attracted to. Look, in a game like this, 9 points on the road, Heat come out, they hit like three threes. You're going to be able to get a cheaper number on Boston. I don't think it'd behoove you to come out and lay nine on the road. You'll probably get something better in game, but playing the game over the total, I think, is more intriguing.
201 and a half right now. It feels to me like the total has bottomed out in the market on this series.
Oh, dude, absolutely. I mean, for all of these teams, it seems to be the case. And I'm going to double check here because I think game one, game one closed at 210. It opened 212 and a half. So think about just where you were from the start of game one to where you're at right now. It definitely seems like that this is the time to start to play the series over.
All right, quick analysis here. We got a few series to hit on here. We got about 3 minutes left. OKC, New Orleans, anything you like? We'll call it a pick'em game and between the Thunder and the Pelicans in New Orleans.
I think the Thunder respond pretty well after a blowout win, and they continue to put this on New Orleans without Zion. Their small ball lineup was awesome in the second quarter. They can shoot. They can defend. They are awesome in every single aspect, and at least against New Orleans. Pelicans are big, but they don't have the big size to really make this team pay. I think the Thunder come in, and they win this game. They take a big series lead.
OKC is minus one at Circa and DraftKings. How about Denver and the Lakers? Are the Lakers finished? They are 3-point dogs at DK, 3.5 in the rest of the market.
Yeah, stick a fork in them. They're done. I think the Nuggets are good enough to come in here, kind of put the knife in the side. I'll say really quickly, it is amazing how much the market accounts for situations. So game three, the Nuggets go to L.A. because the Nuggets are desperate. Excuse me, the Lakers are desperate. They're 1-point underdogs, the Nuggets are, in that game. Sure. They end them, and guess what happens? Now they're 3-point favorites on the road because that's more of a true number here.
Do the Lakers want to go back to Denver?
I don't think so. I think they want to be. LeBron's talking about life. Like, he's commenting. Like, it's just basketball.
It's just
over.
Basketball. It's no big deal.
It's over.
So who cares? Doesn't mean much. It's only basketball. How about the Knicks and the Sixers? Can you count on the Sixers to win two in a row here, 4.5, 5-point favorites after Embiid scored 50.
I think you can. The Knicks are starting to get really banged up, too. I mean, we saw Dante DiVincenzo get hurt. We saw Mitchell Robinson get hurt. Like, this team's kind of the walking wounded. And again, quietly, kind of similar to what we talked about with the Clippers, except they've actually, you know, they've got a series win themselves, the 76ers. They've guarded Jalen Brunson pretty well through three games. They've held them down offensively. They should have won game two. I think this team's in a much better spot than some of these other teams that are down 2-1. I think I would lay it here with Philadelphia. I think they're going to even the series up and send this back to New York 2-2.
Michael Lombardi said, fade the Sixers. Off the win.
That's shocking.
Well, he's big into the zigzag theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm just kidding. All right, so the last one here. The Pacers shot 13 for 49 from three.
Yeah.
And they get a little bit lucky to pull it out of the fire and win in overtime, 121-118. Chris Middleton kept the Bucks alive in that game, but do you think the Bucks are dead for the series without the freak? Pacers, 7.5-point favorites on Sunday in game four.
Well, without the freak, and guys, probably without Damian Lillard. I don't know if you saw the comments after the game. He told Doc Rivers his Achilles was just done. It was over. Not torn, I don't think, but he told him, let me just be a decoy while I'm out there. That's not good news when you got to play in another day. So I think that 76ers, or excuse me, the Pacers, probably on the verge of ending this thing and taking a 3-1 series lead.
All right, that's JVT on the NBA. Jonathan Von Tobel, appreciate the time.
You got it, guys, anytime.
All right.
JVT.
Will Hill and I are going to talk some baseball when we come back. Max Scherzer's got a very interesting take on robot umps.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, let's talk some baseball betting with Will Hill back here on VSiN tonight. Will, the most disappointing team in the major leagues to you at this point would be who?
Houston. Just no pitch. Every time you look up, they're down 2-3-0. What are they, 7-18, 7-19?
7-19 with five straight losses, yeah.
Yeah, terrible pitching. Every time you look up, they're losing. The division hasn't run away from Texas, Seattle, right around 500. So if they get their act together, it's still within shouting distance. 6-7 games is not a lot this time of year, but I mean, they got bigger issues in the standings. They can't pitch.
I think we're all surprised that the Mets are one game over 500 at this point. But on the positive side, which team has surprised you the most? Would it be the Cleveland Guardians?
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
A lot of that schedule related, they do have good pitching. Is there a more surprising team? I mean, what I said, Pittsburgh two weeks ago. It's not that Milwaukee's played really well. How about Milwaukee? They that's a good organization. They don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of money. They lose Woodruff. They trade Burns, but you look up, they always put a decent product on the field. So I'll say Milwaukee.
Milwaukee 17-8, and the Cleveland Guardians 18-8 at this point. All right, so the Texas Rangers off to a so-so start, stumbling out to 14-13 through 27 games. Max Scherzer had an interesting take on how balls and strikes should be called. Now, obviously, we've heard a lot of takes on this. Are you in favor of robot umps?
No. What I do think we're going to get at some point is, I knew they do this in the minor leagues, is some sort of challenge system where the hitter gets a bad call, he taps his head, which is the equivalent to a red flag in the NFL, where you challenge it. And they very quickly say, all right, that was, you know, he's right. That wasn't a ball. That wasn't a strike. To ball. So I don't know how the pitcher challenges it, but I do think we're probably looking at some sort of technology being involved to save some of the bad calls.
Can you explain how Angel Hernandez is still allowed to call balls and strikes in the Major League Baseball games?
Any baseball game, even forget Major League Baseball. I really can't. It's so bad. He's temperamental with the, you know, with the managers and these managers know going in how bad he is. So he gets very defensive. It's a horrible situation. The situation with Boone the other day was embarrassing, where the ump threw Boone out for not saying anything. And then after the game said, well, somebody in the dugout said something. It's like, we saw it was the fan. We all saw it was the fan. These umps have a very hard time just saying a couple simple words. And that is, I am wrong. I was wrong. Which, hey, you're human, you're umpires. And nobody expects you to get them all right. But they're so defensive, which makes it tricky. So it's not a good situation with the umps. They have a really hard job. Those pitchers throw hard. The stuff moves. If you ever seen a major leaguer throw, I mean, it's hard to get the balls and strikes right, but there's too much technology out there. There's too many missed calls. I do think we're probably coming to some sort of point where something will probably be changed.
That would really kind of change the game too, because don't you need the umpires? You need somebody to scream at or somebody to blame when things go wrong, right? And you're not going to be able to argue as much in the game of baseball. All right, so Max Scherzer's got a take here on what should happen and how balls and strikes are called. Let's go ahead and listen to Mad Max.
I want a human back there judging the calls. I want, you know, like, that's just, it seems too weird to have a robot, you know, calling the game. You know, I think I threw an OO slider and like that just felt like a ball. And then all of a sudden that's getting called a strike now. So, you know, for me, the way I kind of, you know, I've kind of thought about this and, you know, how we want the electronic strike zone. And I think, you know, when you talk enough guys, that we want the human element of the game. The human element of the game is good. And we need to keep that in baseball. Now, I figure we've done so much in baseball to try to remove the human element. And so for me, going forward, of how I kind of conceptualize what, you know, the electronic strike zone should be, is really we need to rank the umpires. Let the electronic strike zone rank the umpires. And then we need to have a conversation about the bottom, you know, let's call it 10% or, you know, whatever you want to declare the bottom is, and talk about relegating those umpires to the minor leagues and getting in the best umpires in the game. you know, that way the umpires are going against themselves. That is still a human element of how we rank the umpires, that it's amongst themselves, and that, you know, policing kind of the bottom is the way to go. When I'm out there pitching, you know, if you told me I had the 10th best umpire or the 75th best umpire, you know, you don't really notice too much between that, because, you know, they're really good at their jobs. The umpires are actually really good. It's really the bottom umpires that we all kind of have a problem with. And so if there was a mechanism in order to make the umpires on the bottom better, I think that would be a better way to address this.
All right, that's Max Scherzer of the Round Rock Express. Hey, Will Hill, I really like what he said there about making the umpires, you know, held to a certain standard and competing against themselves, because that would eliminate the buffoons, the clowns like Angel Hernandez, right?
If you're a 150 hitter, you get sent down to the minors. If you're a 150 umpire, you should get sent down to the minors. Now, I don't know the logistics of the union. They're protected. What he said is 100% true. There's accountability for everybody else, players, coaches, managers. You know, if a pitcher can't get anybody out, he goes down to the minors. There should be the same accountability for the umpires. I think it's very well said. I completely agree. I like what he said there.
All right, how about the Texas Rangers? Do you feel like they're going to get it together at some point here, one game over 500, no sweat? It's such a long baseball season. You never want to overreact. They have basically the same record the New York Mets have at this point.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't be surprised if they did, but they're not one of these teams where I just pencil them in for, hey, upper 90s, mid-90s. I remember last year, they really struggled down the stretch, and they barely got in by the skin of their teeth. It came down to the last game to get the last wild card spot. Years past, they wouldn't have been in, and they went in the World Series. So we think of them, hey, they're the world champion. They're this great team. I don't know. I mean, that's not great pitching. Eovaldi and, you know, some of the guys they tried out there, John Gray. It's okay pitching. I know there's some hope they can get DeGrom back later on in the year, but I don't automatically assume, hey, they'll be fine. They'll win their 95-plus games. I wouldn't be surprised if I did, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. Would you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I would say so. 90-72 last season. Right. Nobody really looked at the Rangers as a great baseball team until they tore through the playoffs and won the World Series. If you recall last year, Will, in August and September, nobody in the majors was playing better baseball than the Dodgers, right?
Yep.
Dodgers get to the playoffs, get swept out by the D-backs, just like that. That was pretty depressing because I had a futures bet on the Dodgers. But that's the way the baseball postseason can work. How do you feel about the Yankees at this point? Because I got some bad news for you for 2025 for the Yankees. How do you feel about this version?
They're good. They're not great. The starting pitching's okay. The bullpen's okay. They're not great defensively. That's a good lineup. Judge hasn't really gotten going yet. Soto's a tremendous player. They're going to be able to hit. The lineup, like I said, is much more athletic, much more balanced. They're a good offensive team. They're okay pitching-wise. They're going to, I don't know, probably 94, 95 wins. I do think it'll come down to the wire with them in Baltimore. I think that's a two-team race. Good team, not a great team. They'll be in the mix, though. If they can get Cole back with that lineup, maybe add an arm for the bullpen at the deadline, they're one of the handful of contenders. So a really good team. They need Cole back, though.
All right, right now, Aaron Judge batting 178, Gleyber Torres 192. Actually, you've started to see a couple guys heat up a little bit recently, like Anthony Rizzo this week. But Juan Soto batting 324 with seven homers, 23 RBIs. He's leading the Yankees in basically every major offensive category right now. But I got some bad news for you, Will, about 2025. Do you know what it is?
You're going to tell me he's not going to be on the team?
Well, Ken Rosenthal, baseball reporter, is predicting that Juan Soto's next contract will outweigh Shohei Ohtani's mega deal with the Dodgers. And I know that you don't believe Hal Steinbrenner and the Yankees are going to step up and pay that type of money.
They have a habit of knowing what's good for them business-wise. And if they lost Soto, if it ended up being a one-year rental, that would be a disaster PR-wise. So they spend enough to keep people out. Like, they needed Cole, they got him. They needed to keep Judge, they did. They have the money. So I wouldn't count him out signing him. If it gets to a bidding war, that's obviously dangerous, but that will be a bad look if they let him go. They can't, how do you replace that guy? So wouldn't count them out keeping him. I mean, you'd like to just get it to a situation where he doesn't hit free agency and just give him whatever he wants. I would still take the under. I'd still take the under on that contract, though. He's going to get more than Ohtani, who hits pitches, got the international, the international appeal in terms of marketing being LA. Right. Would you agree? Is that surprising to you? Would you, if you, had to say over under 700 million. You'd go over
under. It's under. Yeah, and there's one reason it might go over, and I'll tell you here in a second why. But under because Shohei gets that money because he's a great hitter, a great pitcher, and the number one marketing attraction of Major League Baseball right now.
Bingo.
That's why he's worth that money for the Dodgers. Yeah, Juan Soto, not the same type of marketing, even though he is a big marketing star in New York. He doesn't pitch. He's not the prolific home run hitter that Shohei is right now. But the one reason his price is going to get driven up is Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is probably going to drive the market up on Soto, and that's bad news for the Yankees.
You might agree? Be right. You might be right. Yeah, I mean, Cohen came to town and hasn't really gotten that big, you know, signing. He got Scherzer, but he's got that money. He wants to be relevant. They've got some kids in the minors, so maybe Soto goes across town. That would be interesting—a bidding war between Cohen and Steinbrenner. Cohen is kind of like he reminds me a little of George Steinbrenner, where you know, he's got the money, he's aggressive. He hasn't spent it yet, but he's a little more methodical. But you know, we're going to see his aggressiveness sooner rather than later.
That's going to be very interesting because I know how badly you want to keep Juan Soto and the Yankees need to keep him. But, man, his price tag is going to be high. I don't think it's going to get up in the neighborhood of the Shohei Ohtani mega deal. But, Will, let's take a quick break. Hey, college football numbers are up for week zero, week one at DraftKings, and Matt Grill is going to talk about those numbers next.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Humans and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Right now, if you go to VSIN.com, also known as VSiN.com, you can find JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, his NBA best bets up there every day during the playoffs. Make sure to check it out. Plenty of great sports betting content up on the website daily, VSiN.com. All right, let's go out to the progressive guest line now. Bring in Matt Grill, oddsmaker from DraftKings, and talk a little NFL draft and college football. Grill, welcome in on Friday night. Have you followed the first three rounds of the NFL draft? What have the betting results been like for DraftKings Sportsbook, if you know?
Yeah, hey, Matt. Been a fun couple nights with the draft, as always. Obviously, we had a really big menu of betting options, and everyone always has a lot of fun with these. The bookmakers, not so much. Always a tough prospect to win with these each year. Although I'll tell you what, yesterday we came out okay. We actually made a little bit on the draft. Not sure about the results tonight quite yet. But it's been an interesting draft. You know, everyone thinks they always know how it's going to go. Then something crazy happens, as we saw yesterday with the Falcons taking Michael Penix Jr. Inside the top 10. And then, of course, the last two rounds today, no more QB selected after having six in the first round. So, you know, again, a lot of unpredictability. Every year is very interesting. The draft seems to be evolving and morphing each year. So, you know, just can't wait for this event each year. It's a fun event. In fact, earlier today, we actually already put up odds on the number one pick for next year, if you can believe it.
I can believe it. Will Hill, who do you think the favorite is to be the top pick in the 2025 draft?
I would guess it's a relative of Deion Sanders. That would be my guess.
Shedeur Sanders, would he be the favorite? Is that right, Matt Grill, or not?
He is, guys. Great guess on that. He's the even money favorite right now, Shedeur. Obviously flashed a lot of talent with not much of an O-line in year one. So going to be very interesting to see how he does this year. But I'll tell you what, guys, this time last year, if I'm not mistaken, we opened up Caleb Williams. I think it was minus 500. He was about as big of a slam dunk as far out as you could possibly have in the draft, I think. So next year is going to be pretty wide open. There's, you know, the quarterback class is probably not going to be as good. It's a lot of different names. So the two second favorites here are tied at 3-1, Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. Some other quarterbacks up in the air, they're possibly for number one pick odds. Drew Aller, plus 850, the quarterback from Penn State, big frame. Jalen Milroe, plus 950. Cameron Ward is up there as well, 15-1. Then if anyone's wondering, Travis Hunter, that dynamic two-way star, we got him 22-1. Pretty tough for a cornerback to go number one in the draft, but, and you know, would an NFL team actually try to risk playing a guy two ways? Don't know, but that guy might be the most talented player in the draft coming out next year.
I'll tell you what, Will Hill, if Quinn Ewers is the number one pick of next year's draft, I'm going to fall out of my chair. I might just go out and buy Matt Grill a new sport coat or something like that, because that's not going to happen. Yeah, because Ewers is not going to be the top pick Will, anything you like there in the top pick of the of next year's draft? Do you think it's going to be Sanders?
You stole my thunder because you picked on yours. I said if Drew Aller is the number one pick in the draft, that GM should not only be fired, maybe a prison sentence would be in order. But Matt, I'm curious. You mentioned the first five or seven picks, they're kind of chalk, they're predictable. Then eight, we get chaos. What makes the draft harder to book? Is it when it's predictable, or can you price that right? Or is it when it's unpredictable? What's kind of scarier? What's kind of tougher about booking the draft, predictable or unpredictable?
Yeah, great question, Will. And, you know, I think it's always unpredictable. So you just do your best. There's so much that happens in the lead up. You know, I think that it was Jaden Daniels the day before. He moved to a huge favor for number two. Then Drake May moved to a huge favor for number three. So it was pretty much a foregone conclusion who those first couple picks were going to be. At number five with Joe Alt, that might have been not a surprise, but, you know, that one could have gone a couple different ways. You know, J.J. McCarthy there falling behind Michael Penix. You know, if I don't believe we had a matchup up on those two, but if there would have been, I mean, J.J. McCarthy would have been probably -800, -$1,000 favorite to go ahead of Michael Penix, and then, you know, it doesn't happen. And that just basically causes the dominoes to start falling. And usually that's good for us just because, you know, people try to map this out best they can. It only lasts so far. And then once that first domino falls, that's usually going to help us out and things start getting a little bit weird.
I noticed pretty early this morning, late last night, you already had offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year markets. That's about as early as I can remember. Guys that weren't even drafted yet, you had numbers on. Am I remembering that right? Is that the earliest you've had these markets available?
Yeah, guys, we like to have these up the night of the draft just because, you know, people are excited about their teams and all these new players. So they want to bet this stuff, right? So we like to put up those offensive, defensive player of the year odds right away. Had those up last year pretty early as well. So our NFL team, they do a really good job pricing this. They work with us on this as well for some more information about these guys because we have the knowledge on the college side with myself and my team. So just really fun and just, you know, get the juices flowing and people to start betting on NFL here in April. Always a good thing for us as the sports book.
We see some week zero lines here, some marquee matchups. LSU laying 6 to USC, Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson, A&M laying 2 versus Notre Dame. Anything that's gotten hit early here in these popular games?
Yeah, guys. So last night we kind of snuck these in. We put up the week zero lines. We put up some of all the weekday FBS week one lines and then some of the marquee week one lines as well. I think we did all the FBS versus FBS matchup. So we're first up with a couple of these games and not the best slate, fellas, but we actually were able to sneak in Colorado there. They've got a tough game right away playing North Dakota State. Of course, the hype is going to be back with the Deion train in Colorado again. So they're laying 7 -$1.20 against North Dakota State. Actually already got up South Dakota State, the dominant champion from last year. They're going to go into Stillwater, play Oklahoma State. That's going to be an interesting game. We got that sitting 7 right now. We took a couple early bets on Okie State today. Could see some movement there pretty quickly. We're first up with that. So South Dakota State loses quite a bit off that team. But as we know, South Alabama went into Stillwater last year as they were on a similar underdog 7-8 points and just dominated the Cowboys before the Cowboys went on their run to contend the Big 12. So got some fun matchups here, guys. Of course, the big one is going to be that Clemson-Georgia game. These teams have been playing a lot in the last couple of years. Georgia is definitively, I think, the number one team going to next year. Ohio State may be right behind them. They're laying 13.5 versus Clemson here in the Mercedes-Benz Dome in week one.
Matt Grill, DraftKings oddsmaker with us. All right, Grill, back to week zero. Florida State, 13.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech. That game is in Dublin, Ireland, I believe. And then you got Minnesota -1 against North Carolina. Colorado -7 against North Dakota State. These are week zero games to kick off the college football season. I know somebody who's going to like North Dakota State to win that game straight up. That number might look a little thin to some people. The Buffaloes laying 7 there, but what do you anticipate? Where do you think that closes? And do you think the public is going to be on the Buffaloes?
I do. I mean, that was the case all last year, right, guys? And they're bringing back all these stars for year two. Deion, you know, he's had a lot of guys transfer out during the spring. I think it was 11 guys last I heard. So it's just going to be that rotating door at Colorado. He's going to get in some talent. Ultimately, he's got to get in a defense, and he's got to get in an offensive line to protect Shadur, to give him time to get the ball out to these talented guys. Obviously, North Dakota State, everyone who follows the sport knows they are no slouch. So I think they're going to have their hands full with the Bison here with Colorado. But if things go right for Deion in the spring and the lead up, it's a number they can cover. We could see, maybe see this number increase as we get closer to kickoff.
All right, week one, Texas A&M minus two against Notre Dame. Miami minus two against Florida. Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson. And LSU 6 against USC. And, Grill, that game is in Vegas, LSU 6. That looks like a big number for LSU to be laying without Jaden Daniels, a quarterback.
Yeah, fellas, they bring in Garrett Nussmeier, QB. He played the bowl game. He's got some talent. He was a highly recruited guy there for LSU. So I think he's going to come in. I don't want to say miss a beat because, I mean, Jaden Daniels, he was putting up otherworldly numbers and all-time numbers there for LSU, a quarterback. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Ryan Kelly, he always does a good job. It's going to be year three for him. USC obviously losing Caleb. So, I mean, it's too bad we didn't get this game last year, fellas. It would have been an all-time QB matchup. But still going to be a fun one in the desert here with USC. They're going to be breaking a new QB, either Miller Moss or Jaden Maiava from UNLV, who will be playing in his old home stadium potentially. That should be a good one to kick off things in Vegas here. I'm hoping to get to that game myself, Matt.
Hey, Grill, one last question here. Since you put up these college football opening numbers, it's a two-part question. Have you taken much action on these in the last 24 hours? And Georgia laying 13.5 to Clemson also looks like a big number. Is Clemson going to be that down this season?
You know, Matt, until Dabo starts changing his philosophy there, starts bringing in some transfers, I think they're just going to keep a little bit on a decline, this Clemson program. Never been a fan of Cade Klubnik. Don't really like what he's doing. He's back at QB. Georgia, just from everything I'm hearing, you know, Carson Beck looked good in the spring. As we all know, they're just so talented, so many of this loaded. These opening games they play, they usually dominate these things. So I think it's going to be tough for Clemson to keep up with scoring on this. So, sitting 13.5 right now, could see this going either way. It's a lot of points just on paper to see Clemson getting, but I think the number's correct for right now.
All right, I know some bettors looking to fire on these DraftKings numbers for college football opening lines for week zero, week one, up at DK. Hey, Matt Grill, appreciate the time on Friday night. We'll catch you next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. And keep a lookout, guys, for next week. Dropping some games of the year very soon.
All right, we come back. Will Hill and I are going to take a look at the top games and the best bets on the Saturday card. Stay tuned here to VSiN tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't miss any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA all the way through the finals. DK Sportsbook has got you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boost, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code VSiN. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. The code is VSIN, only on DraftKings. Back here on VSiN tonight as we close out the show. Before we get to the top games on the Saturday card. How about this, I'm going to say, underwhelming performance by the Phoenix Suns tonight, Will Hill. Down 2-0 in the series, coming home. That's the spot where you typically want to bet a team like Phoenix with veterans. They go down 126-109, 17-point home loss for a 5.5-point home favorite. And the Phoenix Suns are going to burn out before they get to the second round.
Yeah, I like them. And then the number got away from me. Says, you know, I'm not going to chase. I think went from 4 to 5.5. Well, good thing, because my goodness, that is just underwhelming. I don't even know it's strong enough. That's an embarrassment. And we talked about this with JVT. I wonder if you start to ask some questions, the Suns basically gave up every draft pick they have for the next decade. I mean, you're not winning a championship with this group. Do you start to say, you know what? Maybe we flip Durant and we try to get some of these picks back and go in a different direction, because where are we going with this team? They're old, they're expensive, they're not good enough, and you have no picks. New owner syndrome, it's called. Matt Ishbia takes over. He wants to buy the shiny new toy in Durant and overpays for an older player. And you're seeing kind of a changing guard in the West. By the way, it's been other than that Monday night where we had Sixers-Knicks and we had Lakers-Nuggets with the two great finishes, it's been an awful playoffs, ton of blowouts. Really hasn't been that exciting. But you're seeing a new guard in the West. Curry's not in the playoffs. Durant, LeBron on the verge of getting swept. Kawhi's limping around. Anthony Edwards is emerging. So it's a new day, kind of a new era here.
That's a great point, too. All right, let's get to the best bets on the Saturday card.
This is VSiN's Daily Morning Bets.
Will Hill, let's start in the association, and we're going to go with the Nuggets and the Lakers game first. Take the game at the bottom of the rotation and put it at the top. Is it so easy here to just lay the 3, 3.5 with the Nuggets to say the Lakers are going to pack it in, they're done, they don't want to go back to Denver? The Nuggets are the far superior team. They've shown it through three games. Are you going to play the favorite?
That's certainly how we lean. I like the Nuggets here. I don't love getting involved in these series 3-0, because sometimes the team that's up 3-0 feels like they haven't won, and they kind of take the game off and they say, you know what, we'll finish in 5. We'll go home. So game 4 when the series 3-0 can be tricky, but you got to figure the Lakers are just fried mentally. They've blown double-digit leads, and I think all of these games they've had chances to win. They're going back 2 years now. Denver, I think, finishes. Denver's going to be motivated that maybe now that I think about it. With Minnesota on the verge of a sweep, Denver says, all right, we got to get this done. We don't want Minnesota having a rest advantage on us. So I would expect Denver to win this game.
Yeah, I'm debating here. Lay the 3, 3.5, or do you lay the 160 on the money line? But it looks a little too easy. I'm probably going to play the Nuggets here. I just don't believe the Lakers are going to come out. And, hey, if you're gonna show anything, you're going to show it in game 3.
I agree.
Not in game 4 when you're down 3-0 and the series is over. So Nuggets are going to be a play for me. How about we go to the Cavs-Magic game in Orlando? Magic 2-point favorites off a 38-point win. Will, anything for you in this one?
I'll go under. Early start, 10 a.m. Pacific. These guys are night creatures. They play late. They stay up late, sleep late, wake up late. This is an early start, and these are two kind of ugly teams offensively. Cavs are okay on offense, but the Cavs, good on defense. Magic, barring, you know, aside from the other night, are bad on offense, good on defense. So to me, you know, games 1 and 2 were dead nut unders. Game 3 snuck over just because it was garbage time and things got a little wonky late. I think we'll look at an under too. Something to keep in mind as the series goes on, usually late in the series, 5, 6, 7, these games get even more physical, more intense, and you see a lot of unders late in the series. We're not quite there yet, but I will still go under on this game.
All right, how about OKC in New Orleans? Right now, most books, including DraftKings, Thunder, 1-point road favorites, total of 208.5.
I think the Pelicans get one. I don't know that OKC, I mean, they're good, but it's still a young team going on the road. I don't know if they have that maturity to go in killer instinct and win on the road and sweep New Orleans. It feels like New Orleans gets a game. Game 1 was close. Game 2 was a blowout. I'll give New Orleans a game. I do think OKC gets a split and wins in 5, but I'll give New Orleans this one.
All right. I think JVT might have talked me into a play on the total here on the Celtics Heat game. Now, obviously, in game 2 in Boston, the Miami Heat shot the lights out, 23 three-pointers. I think you're going to see some shooting regression from the Heat from 3 in this game. But you also should see a strong bounce-back effort from the Boston Celtics. It feels like the total has bottomed out in the market at 201.5. I might look to play the over here. I'm not sure if I'm going to do anything with the side. Celtics laying 9 on the road. Series tied at 1. How about you, Will?
feel like the Celtics bounce back, and it's not my nature to like lay double digits on the road. If I wanted to play at Boston, a pro Boston angle, I'd probably just look at Miami team total under, figuring the regression will come from 3-point range. And Boston, maybe defend the 3-point line once in a while. It's not all luck with Miami shooting the lights out, because Miami seems to have a lot of good shooting luck against Boston. Defend the 3-point line. They don't have anything else. They can't get to the basket. So I think they'll stifle down. I think they'll play a good defensive game. I'll go Miami Heat team total under here.
All right. Hockey talk. And this is going to be quick. We're going to break the ice here with Dallas Stars, Vegas Golden Knights. The top seed in the West down 2-0, coming to Vegas for a Saturday night game. And Will, the Golden Knights right now minus 118 at DraftKings. You might end up seeing a higher price Saturday night before the puck drops here in Vegas with action on the home side. I think this is where you got to play the top seed in the West down two games. If they're going to show up, the Stars got to do it in game three. So I might look to play the dog in this one. Any thought, quick thought for you here or no?
Yeah, I think it's a good handicap. I'll play Dallas with you. And you know, you mentioned you get a better number when you're fading Vegas, when you're in Vegas. So maybe I'll hop on a plane and get the better number in Vegas.
Maybe just call me. Maybe I'll put it in for you. All right. Let's go to baseball for a minute, and we'll hit on one game. We like to talk about the Yankees, so let's go ahead and talk about the Yankees game. Pitching matchup, Rodon and Ross in Milwaukee. Yankees at DraftKings minus 130, total of 8.5. Will, anything for you in that matchup?
It'd be a lean towards the Yankees. I don't know that I'll bet it. Rodon's actually pitched pretty well. He hasn't gotten a ton of swing and misses. Hasn't been overpowering, but he's cut down on the walks. He's been good, not great, but good. Yankees have the better lineup. I think this is a reasonable price here for the Yankees on the road.
All right, now we're going to end this with a, we're going to call it an entertainment prop. This is up at DraftKings for the NFL draft. We got rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. The last pick in the draft is owned by your New York Jets, Will Hill. And the prop up at DraftKings, Mr. Irrelevant, the position of the last player drafted in the 7th round, that would be pick number 257 overall. I was talking about this with our producer, Dan Moneyline Miller, and he says, it's got to be an offensive player, right? Well, I went back and looked. 3 of the last 4 years, it's been a defensive player. In 2020, it was a linebacker. 2021, a linebacker. 2022, we all know, Brock Purdy, quarterback from Iowa State to the San Francisco 49ers. Last year, it was a defensive end, edge rusher. Will, the prop at DraftKings, let's take a shot and see if we can get this right. Quarterback is a favorite at 3-1. Defensive line edge rusher at 5-1, the second choice. Offensive lineman also 5-1. Wide receiver plus 650. Cornerback plus 650. Linebacker 8-1. Running back 10-1. Safety 11. And tight end 13-1. Also, kicker, punter, long snapper grouped in at 16-1. You want to take a guess on Mr. Irrelevant and the position on this DraftKings prop.
Yeah, that's one of these books. They always leave it up. I don't know if there's betting interest in for it, but like when they pull some of these markets, that one always stays up for whatever reason. I'll go with the longer odds. I don't know why quarterback's the short shot. I will go with the kicker, punter, long snapper at 16-1.
Okay. You're taking the longest shot on the board for the Jets, and they might trade the pick. But right now, the Jets have pick number 257, and they would have Mr. Irrelevant. I'll tell you what I'm going to go with. Wide receiver. Why not? Okay. Plus 650. I'm going to go middle of the odds board here. Wide receiver. Jets get some sort of target for Aaron Rodgers with the last pick of the draft.
Well, if that's your hope, for filling the position. I mean, the last pick in the draft, I mean, they did get the kid from Western Kentucky, but it's hard to handicap this stuff because we don't know what they're going to do in the round. It's who they have out valued on their board and who's left over. So who knows?
That's why I said it's an entertainment prop. If you want to bet that, you're just guessing. You really have no information, nothing. You're just taking a shot on something because you want to for the hell of it. But DraftKings put that prop up, and that's all I see up for the rest of the NFL draft, Mr. Irrelevant. Will, we had some great guests tonight. Great job by you. Have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, man. Appreciate it. We'll see you again next week.
Okay. Thanks to Matt Grill of DraftKings. Joined us to talk about the college football opening numbers for week 0 and week 1 up at DK. You can fire on those now. Dylan Sullivan of Circus Sports, their chief NFL draft odds maker, and also JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel of VSIN on the NBA. Stay tuned. Plenty of great shows coming up here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.